Welcome to episode 30 of the Mile 62 podcast. I'm your host, Richard Elkins, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Boy, a very hot Austin, Texas right now. It's about 102 Fahrenheit. Went out for a long bike ride this morning, and it was a little bit cooler, and planned to go for a run this evening, but trying to fight the temperature. You know, we're in the hottest part of the summer right now in Texas. Today, I got an exciting episode. We're going to do another shoe review. And today I'm going to talk about the Hoka Clifton 7 and compare it to the version 6, which was the previous version. So I've been using Hoka Cliftons on the road since version 4. And you're probably wondering, well, you're a trail runner and it's a trail running podcast, and why are you talking about the Clifton? Well, a lot of us run on the roads during the week, and we run on the trails on the weekends. And during, of course, we race on the trails. Clifton has been around for several years, and it's a real good shoe. It's a neutral shoe, and I have a lot of experience with it, and they keep improving it. In my opinion, from version 6, they really made it an outstanding shoe. Before that, it had some issues, and version 7 is even better. I've done about 30 miles on the version 7. I'm very happy with it. The biggest changes for the Hoka Clifton 7 is the upper. It's got a new engineered mesh upper, and the heel, it runs up a little bit higher, so it's covering your Achilles tendon. And they took off that that pull hook that was sewn on before. And the shoe's weight about the same. The sole and the midsole, outer sole they call it, it's all the same. So the weight and everything is about the same. What makes the Hoka famous is what they call a meta rocker, and it's a term that you hear a lot. If you want to really understand what a Hoka meta rocker is, I'll tell you the definition by Hoka is a combination of a low heel toe drop and a rounded sole shape that complements your natural stride and helps you propel forward. So basically the sole is rounded. So that's what they mean by meta rocker. They haven't changed that, so that's been the same. The shoe is now, it's being sold in a medium and a wide width. I highly recommend you don't get a wide width unless you really need that and you know you need that. Reason I tell you that is because I have bought a Hoka shoe. I bought a leather version of the Stenson before from the factory, and a black version that I used for work because I wanted a black leather Hoka shoe, and I got it in a wide, and it was a mistake. The front sole is a little bit wider, which is comfortable, but also the heel gets a lot wider. So I had some slippage issues with it. So I highly recommend don't get a wide unless you're really sure you need that. Because the Hoka, you know, a lot of Hokas, you know, on the trails I wear Ultras because I need that big 4 foot. I need the room in the shoe. And in Hokas, many of the Hokas I cannot wear because they're too narrow. Like the Speed Goat I can't wear. But some of their shoes in the road, like the Clifton, I think is a very reasonable width. It's not too narrow, not too wide, and I'm able to run in that. So if you get a wide in the Clifton, it's going to be really a lot of room. Like I said, I use it on the roads. I also use my Ultra Olympuses on the roads. And what I do is, and I think it's helped me, at least I've sold myself on this, is it reduces plantar fasciitis. I used to have a problem with this a couple years ago, and I started a rotation on my shoes, whereas I wear big drop shoe like Hoka Clifton and a zero drop shoe like the Ultras, and I rotate them, and I wear some of the other shoes made by Hoka and Ultra as well, so every day I'm not running in the same shoe. And ever since I have started that, I don't have problems with plantar fasciitis and other injuries that you usually would get in the foot and knees. a while back, I did have that issue. So highly recommend to do a rotation in your shoes. I've talked about that on other podcasts. The Hoka Clifton, like I said, the upper has been redone, and the tongue has been redone so that it won't slip very much. A lot of the brands are having problems with that, so they re-engineered the tongue. It, to me, it doesn't seem much different. I didn't have much problem with the Hoka Clifton 6 tongue. And then, like I said, the heel is a little bit different. The mesh is nice, and it looks like they have about 7 different colors on this new version 7. Pricing is about the same. It's about $130, and I highly recommend try it out. Like I said, I've been using them since the 4, and the Hoka Clifton 7 is doing well so far. A little bit of history about Hoka Oni Oni that you may not know. Where does the name come from, Hoka Oni Oni? Actually, it comes from the Maori language. And who speaks Maori language? Actually, it's in New Zealand. And I guess the minority in New Zealand speaks this language. And in the Maori language, Hoka Oni Oni means fly over the earth. I thought that was very interesting. Hoka Oni Oni was started by some former Salomon employees. It was Nicholas Mermond and Jean-Luc Diard. They quit Salomon in 2009 and started the company, and grew the company. I think they had struggled, just like Altra did in the early days, and eventually they were bought by Decker Brands in 2013, and they've been growing ever since then. One of their famous trail running models everyone knows is the Speed Goat, which is named after Carl Meltzer. And interesting, you know, that might be one of their more famous shoes in the trail running community, but it's actually a small percentage of their sales. The number one selling shoe by Hoka is the Clifton, and that includes all of their models, road and trail. And that's where they're making most of their money. I've heard that the road shoe sales is somewhere in the 80% range. So you can see the influence the road, because there's just so many more road runners out there. And little bit of history about the Clifton. I'm not sure where they got the name Clifton. I tried to find that and I couldn't find out, but it was introduced in 2014, and it got very popular because of two things. It combined cushioning and speed to the road. Before that, you had to choose either between cushioning or speed, so it was one of the first shoes out there that combined the two of them and did it successfully, and that's why they've been growing real fast. So let's pivot on to some other things. Cactus Rose 150-mile race. I've signed up, and it'll be my longest race I've ever done. I've finished 100-miler before, but I've never done 150. The Cactus Rose, which is out in Bandera, Texas, it's about 2 hours north of San Antonio. They added a 150-mile version and have given extra time because under the COVID-19, you must make an appointment. So it's actually, the cutoff times are a little bit longer than normal. So I think it's a really good opportunity for me to try the 150-mile distance. So I'm pretty excited about that. I've been training hard, and now I have something on the horizon. It's, you know, it's in October, towards the end of October, October 23rd through 25th. And that course is the same course as the Bandera 100K. I've done that 3 times, so I know the area well. I know it's a real hard course, technical, difficult elevation when you put it in perspective for Texas. And I know what I'm going up against, so I'm excited. I know how to prepare. And it'll be a little bit cooler because it's in October, but not it'll be a little bit cool, but it won't be too hot, it won't be too cold. So I'm pretty excited about that. My other races have been canceled, but I still have Brazos Bend 100-miler in December. That'll be about 5-6 weeks after Cactus Rose. I think I'll be ready by then. I should be recovered and ready to go. I think the Cactus Rose 150 will help me in that Brazos Bend 100. And so I'm really looking forward to that. So I got these 2 big races for the rest of the year. And they say that, you know, the way they set it up, they should not be canceled, especially Cactus Rose, because it's in a very rural area. and using their style two, as they call it, with appointments. It's only a few runners starting at a time, several hours during the day, so it should not be canceled. In Brazos Bend, the race director says it will not be canceled. They've got an agreement with the park, but then again, it's near Houston, so I think there's still some chance that could be canceled, but I'm going to stay optimistic and plan for it. Some follow-up on the Ultra Olympus 4. That's my go-to shoes for the trail. I did a technical review on the Ultra Olympus 4 a few podcasts back. After putting on about 75 to 100 miles, I think the tongue is okay, because that was a big change for Ultra Olympus 4, but I actually think I like the 3.5 version better. It's a little bit thicker, and the new tongue in the Ultra Olympus 4 is a little bit thinner. It's got some kind of selective padding areas, and I don't think they really fixed the slippage problem that well. But however, it still works well. Just some feedback to Ultra on that. And been really happy with the shoes. Almost no wear on the shoes, and I've been running them on the trails and the road. And so happy with it. I'm going to buy another pair for my upcoming race, Cactus Rose. So I'll have two of the version 4s. I've got a couple of version 3.5s, but they got too many miles on them to race. Other thing I want to talk about is Patreon. I don't use Patreon. And what is Patreon? Patreon is a way you can donate money to people doing podcasts and other types of media to support their business. I do not plan to use Patreon, and because I do this for fun, and it will always be that way. And I bring it up because I was on Patreon for a couple years and supporting podcasts. And I thought it was the right thing to do. And I was probably spending $10 a month supporting some podcast. And then the second I started my own podcast, many of these big podcasters stopped following me and really interacting with me. So it really kind of gave me a bad taste in my mouth about some of the bigger podcasts out there. One of them even told me in the private Patreon Facebook group that don't mention my podcast in his group. You know, this was a major podcast that supposedly was just to inspire runners and, you know, have fun. But I bring this up is because I think it's unfortunate how some of the large podcasters kind of push around the small podcasters out there. I just have fun, and anyways, it kind of rubbed me wrong, so I stopped supporting all the big podcasters on Patreon. So I don't support anybody on Patreon anymore. But I just wanted to let you know that, you know, that's what may seem to be a way that some podcasts operate is not really the case. I found that out myself. But anyways, I have fun with my podcast, and I've got friends that do their podcast too. And as you know, if you've listened to my podcast, I mention their podcasts on my podcast because I enjoy listening to them. And we all learn from each other. But I think it's unfortunate that some of the large podcasts, the way they treat the up-and-coming podcasts, I think it's not right. But another thing I want to talk about is CBD. Oh, my gosh. Everybody knows my philosophy on CBD. You know, I guess I'm an old-school conservative. I was always against it, and I really think I lost a Hammer sponsorship one time because I refused to use that CBD product, you know, because you know, it comes from the marijuana plant. I know it doesn't have any THC, and, you know, it's just a cannabinoid chemical compound, and it's supposed to help with pain. Well, anyways, I've been not using it for a couple years, and so many of my friends are using it, you know, and, you know, it's supposed to support, you know, arthritis, osteoporosis, and recovery. I bought some to try myself. And because, you know, I have a problem with that. My recovery time is still too long. I'm sore the next day, and I want to try something different. And, you know, I'm going to give it a try. So I'll let you know in future podcasts how it goes. And the interesting thing is I bought it from Hammer. So I think they're a really reputable brand, and I know that they will be using the best quality of everything. But I'm going to try it out, see if it helps me with my overnight recovery, because I've tried everything. I've lowered my carbs, and I don't eat much wheat products anymore, and that's helped some. And so I'm pretty much vegetarian, and I don't do it just because of running. It's just my kind of what I like to eat. And that's helped, but lowering my carb intake, I eat carbs in the morning, but the rest of the day I don't eat much carbs at all. It's mostly protein. I also take in a lot of whey protein, mostly through shakes. So I try to get up into the like 150 grams of protein per day, which is equivalent to what most people, nutritionists say for my weight. I'm not giving nutritionists advice. I'm telling you what other people have told me. And that works best for me, and that's helped my recovery. But I'm also going to try this CBD. I've heard some good things about it, and we'll see how it goes. That's it for this podcast. Highly suggest you go out and try the Hoka Clifton 7s. I'm not sponsored by Hoka, but I'm a big fan of their road shoe. And some of their trail running shoes, the Hoka Clifton 7s, a good shoe. And like I say on all my podcasts, if you got feedback for me, send it to runnerrwe@gmail.com. Or you can contact me on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook. You can find me at runnerrwe. That's my call name on all the social media. And hope you have a good weekend running or cycling or enjoying adventure sports. And stay tuned for the next episode. But goodbye.